Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
I'm reminded this morning of a verse that Paul wrote to the church in 1 Corinthians. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "When you get together, one of you has a word to bring. One of you has a song to sing. One of you has a revelation from Scripture to speak. And you do this to build each other up." I have been built up this morning. Amen. I hope you have. I've been built up by a shepherd who loves us, who prays for us, and who blesses others. I've been built up by Wendell, who God has gifted to sing and to speak. I've been built up by my brother David, who loves the Lord so much. His heart is so tender for God. I've been built up by you as you have confessed in your song that Jesus is Lord and you follow him. And so I'm thankful that we are doing this morning what Paul encouraged the church to do and what the church has always done and what the church will always do. We are blessed. And we are blessed to be a blessing. That's what we talked about last week. What we're going to continue to talk about, but as we get into that, I want to let you know about something you may or may not have seen. The staff was at lunch one Tuesday, and this is about a month ago, and the TV was right up there in front of me, and I watched live what has become viral on the television that day was the Little League World Series Southwest playoffs. And I don't know if you've seen this video, but if you haven't, let's watch it right here. I don't know if you've seen that video. I don't know if you read about that story. I saw it live. I saw people talking about it. I actually have heard the coach of one of those teams talk about it. The pitcher was for a Texas team. His name is Caden. The batter was for an Oklahoma team, and his name is Isaiah. And as you saw, Caden threw a pitch that hit Isaiah in the head. It actually ended up just catching the edge of his helmet, but it looked really bad. And it really affected Caden, the one who threw the pitch. And even though Isaiah eventually got up and went to first base, Caden couldn't compose himself and he couldn't throw out the next pitch and he just began to cry. And you saw Isaiah leave first base and walk over to the pitcher's mound and just give Caden a big hug and say, "I'm okay. You're okay. You got this." That's what he told him. Now, here's what you don't know, or what you probably haven't heard. It all started with prayer. Most blessings do. It all started with prayer. The coach of the Oklahoma team, Coach Colson, I think's how you say his name, he told this story on a podcast that I heard. And he said they were, I think it was in Waco where all this was happening. They were in Waco and two of his 12-year-old boys came to him. They were getting ready to play the first game of the series. And two of his 12-year-old boys came to him and they said, "Hey, coach, we want to get our team together with the team we're about to play and we want to pray together. Do you think we could do that?" And the coach said, "I think we could do that. Let's see if we can make that happen." And he got in touch with the other coach and that coach agreed. And so those two teams got together at the hotel and they prayed together before they went and they played the game. Well, those two boys kept asking, and every single team that they played throughout the entire series, they got together with that team beforehand and they prayed together. And so before Caden ever threw that pitch, and before Isaiah ever walked over to that mound, and before that moment of blessing ever happened, it began with prayer. And as we talk about being a blessing, as we talk about this strategy, for lack of a better word, that God has put into place, going all the way back to Genesis, that through Abraham, he is going to bless the nations. And as Jesus came, and as Jesus lived his life constantly blessing other people, as Jesus has commissioned us and called us, and as we go out and as we bless people, it always begins with prayer. In your outline, you can follow along if that helps you out, and you can fill in the blanks. We talked about these last week. We'll do it again this week. The word bless. The B stands for it begins with prayer. The L stands for listen with compassion. The E is for eat together. The S is for serve with love. And the next S is for share your story. Bless. And if we're going to bless people, if we're going to help people find their way back to God, we absolutely must begin with prayer, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus began his ministry with prayer. He prayed from the beginning of his ministry. He prayed all through his ministry. He prayed at the end of his ministry. There was literally not a moment in Jesus' ministry that Jesus wasn't in prayer. He prayed at his baptism in Luke chapter 3. And as he was praying, a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my son, whom I love." And the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. That was while he was in prayer. In Luke 5, we see him going off by himself to pray. Jesus did that constantly. He was always finding time and finding a way to get off by himself and to pray to his Father. Jesus prayed before he did a miracle in Luke chapter 9. He blessed the bread and then broke it, and it multiplied and fed 5,000 and more. Jesus prayed for his friends. In Luke chapter 22, he looked at Simon. He said, "Simon, I am praying for you." Jesus prayed before his crucifixion in Luke chapter 22. He knelt down in the garden and he prayed to God. Jesus prayed while he was being crucified in Luke chapter 23. He prayed, "Father, would you please forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed a lot. And I want us to notice another time that Jesus prayed at the beginning of something, because it begins with prayer. When Jesus was getting ready to choose the 12 who he was going to call out of this larger group that had been following him and that was listening to his teachings, and they were disciples. There was a larger group of them, but Jesus was going to pick 12 of them to be his apostles. How is he going to decide? Who's he going to pick? The way Jesus made that decision is Jesus went and he prayed all night long in Luke chapter 6. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them who he designated apostles. When Jesus was going to decide who he was going to invest these 3 years in the most intensely, Jesus prayed all night long. His discipling began with prayer. And I don't know what that prayer was, and I don't know how he received that answer, but I know that in the morning he had clarity and he called out 12. He called out Simon, who he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. And those guys were not the A-team. They were not the obvious ones to pick. They weren't the best and the brightest and the smartest and the most talented. Jesus had other qualities that he was weighing in the balance while he was praying. And through prayer, the Father helped him begin his ministry and begin his discipling with those guys. I had a friend just last week ask me, she was asking me about a D group. And she said, "How you're going to spend 9 to 12 months with these guys, and there's so many people. How do you decide who you're going to invest in?" And I just said, "You know what? I've learned from Jesus. I just do it through prayer and fasting, because that's what Jesus did." And God seems to lead and to help when we begin with prayer. But let's be really honest. Prayer is a lot like flossing. It's something we all know we should do more than we do. And when you go to the dentist, you know before you ever get there that while you're in that chair and your mouth is open and they've got stuff stuck and they're going to talk to you and ask you questions. And one of the questions they're going to ask you is, have you been flossing? And you have this sense that it's like a confessional and you're laying there and you have to confess that no, you haven't flossed like you know you're supposed to floss. That's the way prayer feels to us a lot, honestly. It's just something we know we're supposed to be doing a lot more than we do it. And when it gets brought up, we kind of feel like a little confessional needs to take place and say, no, I know I don't pray like I should. And someone asked the question recently, well, why don't you pray? And there were three answers. One of these may relate to you. The three top answers that people gave is first of all, some people said, I just don't know how to pray. And we've talked about that a lot before. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And we've tried over the last few years to do a lot of teaching on how to pray. But there still may be some who say, I don't know how. The second answer was, I'm just too busy to pray. And the third one was, I really don't know if it works. Those are some pretty honest answers. I want to give you three things this morning. And they're really pretty simple. We're not going to go very deep with them. But three things that may help you so that you don't have to lay in the dentist chair and say, no, I haven't been praying like I know I should. And the first one is, just make a plan to pray. Just decide today I'm going to make a plan to pray. Don't keep saying, well, I know I need to do more of it, and then go eat lunch and don't think about it again. Think about it again and make a plan. One of the answers was, I'm too busy. You know, Martin Luther said, one of the things he was known for saying is, I have so much to do today that I need to spend more time in prayer. Now, I'll be honest, that is not my first instinct. My first instinct is, I have so much to do today, I don't have time to pray. But make a plan to pray. Put it on your calendar. Mark the time off in your calendar as busy. Whatever you need to do, make it whenever in the day you need to make it. But make a plan to pray. And if you haven't been doing it, start with 5 minutes. Start with 15 minutes. Start with something so that you can grow from there. Some of you have been growing in that, and we have a resource on our webpage to help you in 5 minute increments learn how to pray for a whole hour. It's not that praying for an hour is more holy or you're going to. It's just the more time we can spend with God and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the better. The more we can communicate with Him and commune with Him, the better off we're going to be. So grow into that. Maybe your next step or plan is, you know what? On the first Wednesday of October, I'm going to join with the church and we're going to fast and we're going to pray and then come and break our fast together that night. Make a plan to pray. The second thing is, prepare yourself to pray. Just take a minute before you pray and prepare yourself. One of the verses that I think is really helpful in that sense is from Psalm 139. Search me, God. Let this be the beginning of your prayer. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. When we go to God, let's prepare ourselves. And then the third thing I want to give you this morning is I want you to think about some people and some places. Some people and some places. Ask God to be very specific with you. If your discipling, if your blessing is going to begin with prayer, then part of that prayer is I want you to think about, okay, who is it that God wants me to bless? Who is it God's putting in front of me that I am the one who gets to bless them? Where are the places that I go or that I frequent that I can be that blessing for God? Ask God to tell you. Ask God to show you. Ask Him and He will. And He'll do that in a lot of ways. He'll do that. Somebody's name will keep coming up in your mind. That's from God. You'll bump into somebody not long after you pray that prayer that you didn't expect to bump into. That's from God. Somebody will just pop into your mind out of the blue. That's from God. If you ask Him, to show you who it is he wants you to bless. He'll answer that prayer. Ask him, what are the places that I frequent? Or where are the places that I go? Or where are the places that I need to go? That I can go and be a blessing and help bring people back to God. So those three things I hope would be helpful to you. To plan, to pray, to prepare yourself before you pray, and then to ask God to show you people and places. As we learn this spiritual rhythm of blessing others, and it begins with prayer. Now, as we go through this series, as we go through these next five lessons, and it's going to take several weeks because we have our mission month coming up, and we're going to work this into our mission month. And one of the ways we're going to do that is I have asked our missionaries to share with us ways that they use this strategy of blessing other people. Now, they don't all know it as bless, begin with prayer and listen with compassion and eat together and serve with love and share your story. But these are just the things that they do. This is what missionaries around the world do. This is what the church does. This is what you are and can do to bless other people. And so I've asked our missionaries to share some stories of how they are doing this. And I'm looking forward to getting more of those back from our missionaries. Several have responded already. The first story I want to tell you today is just such a great story. And this one comes from Aniel and from Elvie in the Med Rim. And it has to do with beginning with prayer. Their team, they've been on the ground since the beginning of August. And within 6 days, he was sending me pictures and text and telling me that some of the first things they were doing is they were doing prayer walks. And they were walking around the city and they were asking God, where is it that you want us to live? And what neighborhood or community is it you want us to go and minister in first? And they were asking God, expecting that he would answer this prayer. And so they did that prayer walk several times, and they were looking for houses, and there's three different parts of the team. And the other two families, they found their housing within like 2 days. I mean, it happened very quickly. But for Aniel and Elvia, it just didn't happen. They couldn't find a place, and they kept praying, and they couldn't find a place. And they honestly got kind of low. They got kind of discouraged. Why is it God won't show us a place? Why can we not find a place to live? And then they made a connection. And a person called them, and it ended up being the right-hand man for a very wealthy Muslim man who owned a lot of properties. And he was a business leader and a leader of the community in the city. And his right-hand man called them and said, hey, we have some places to show you. Can we meet up? So they made a plan to meet. This man drove up in his car. Aniel opened the door, got in the car. And the man just looked at him and didn't say a word. And he said the silence lasted long enough to be uncomfortable. And finally the man broke the silence and he said to Aniel, I don't know who you are, but when you got in this car, I felt the presence of God. And he said, I used to be a Christian. And I haven't felt God's presence in a long time. Now, I don't know exactly how Aniel began that conversation, but he did. And they went around that day and they found a place for Aniel and his family to live. And they began a text relationship with this man. And pretty soon they had him over for coffee to their new house that he helped them find. And they have been studying the Bible with him and bringing him back to his faith that he once had. And now they're getting ready to study with his wife and his two teenagers. And they're excited about that. They're even more excited because this man could be an open door to his boss. And his boss could be one of those people of peace, one of those peoples in a community who becomes your friend and opens all kinds of doors because of their credibility that they welcome you in. And so those are prayers that they are still praying. But that whole situation began with prayer. It began with prayer walking through the city. It began with asking God and expecting Him to answer. It came in a really low point of really asking God, would you please help us find a place? And God did all that work in the background and timed it all perfectly that this man is the one who came and picked Aniel up that day. I love that story. I love our God. And He's the same God here that He is there, folks. And there are people here, just like they are there, who want to find their way back to God. And we get to be the ones who bless them. And it begins with prayer. So I want to ask you now to join me in prayer. The Bible says for men to lift up holy hands in prayer. Here's what I want to get you to do today. Just on your knees or in front of you, would you just hold your hands up? The reason I want you to do that is there's a posture of prayer. And this signifies two things. One, it signifies that I am surrendering some things. This is what you would do if you would surrender something to God. And it also is a posture of saying, okay, I would like to receive something from God. So if you would join me in prayer. Father, we come to You and we do surrender. We surrender our lives to You. Most of us have done that. Our baptism was a moment where we died to ourselves and we were buried with our sin. But our sin didn't rise up. You raised us up to new life. And so we, again, surrender ourselves to You. And we ask to receive from You, to receive the gift of the Spirit, to receive forgiveness, to receive life, to receive joy and peace. So many fruits of the Spirit. Father, this is our posture today, that we surrender ourselves and we expectantly come ready to receive. We receive Your blessing and then we pass that blessing on to others. Help us to be a blessing, God. Help this church to be a blessing. Help every person here to be a blessing. You have blessed us and we want to bless others. And Father, this morning we're talking about it beginning with prayer. And so we pray to You now. I pray that we'll pray to You all through the day and all through the week, that we'll make a plan, that we'll prepare our hearts, and that we'll ask and that You will answer by telling us and showing us people and places that You're already at work. There's someone already there who wants to come back to You. And we're ready to be used, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.